If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, bright and early on a Tuesday in the month of March that will feature the beginning of three more conference tournaments in men's college basketball. A ton to break down here on this Tuesday morning. A seven-game slate around the association as well. Some high major action to end out the regular season in college hoops. And DRS today, yet another deadline day. It is franchise tag deadline day in the National Football League later this afternoon. If you are going to tag a player on your roster, it must happen in the next few hours, which did allow some headlines, as they always do, around the National Football League early in the offseason yesterday as well.
Absolutely, and that's sort of the fun part of this time now, where you start to see which teams are going to angle for which players are going to be upset by getting the franchise tag, and also understanding this. The salary cap went up a lot. These guys are going to get paid crazy amounts of money, but you know we are going to spend some time talking about the Cincinnati Bengals and what Ja'Marr Chase is looking at and how close they might be to actually signing each other to a long-term deal and being happy with it. But also, Ben, college basketball, March Madness, it's official. You don't have to wait till the tournament itself. The college basketball tournament's getting underway. The Sun Belt, the Horizon, the Patriot. We got tidbits on all three of those conferences, which include, Ben, the Jacksonville boys that we've been cheering on. Look like they were dead and buried early in that game. A big second half. The Dolphins, fins up, baby. Let's go.
Fins up indeed. Down 11 at the break. They win the second half by nearly 20 points. That is what March is about. Playing your best when it matters most. And the Dolphins will go marching on in the month of March all the way to the A-Sun semifinals, two wins away from a spot, DRS, in the big dance. But let's start with some NFL news and notes. For a second consecutive year, it might feel like Groundhog's Day in Cincinnati. The Bengals have placed the franchise tag on wide receiver T. Higgins. To the tune of a little bit north of $26 million. Donnie, we thought this was going to happen. The Bengals placing the tag on T. Higgins to keep him in-house so he could not test the free agency waters to see what his true value as the top wide receiver in the market might actually be. If we take the Bengals at their word, they placed the franchise tag on Higgins for a second consecutive year to reach a long-term extension to make Higgins happy and keep him in Cincinnati. If we take Cincinnati at their word, that is the key element.
Yeah, exactly. And last year we were led to believe like, hey, T, take it or leave it. You're getting the franchise tag. You want to sit out the year? Fine. We just won't pay you. You're not in our long-term plans here, but you will play this 1 year with this guaranteed money. He came to camp on time, which I thought was incredible. I don't know what sort of agent was advising him to do that. Played last year, and how did they reward him? Slapped the tag on him again, absolutely saying like, yeah, we want to work out a long-term deal at well below market value, but you will play for this tag. And then in the next segment, Ben, I'm going to tell you about what Ja'Marr Chase's thoughts on this whole situation are as well. It's a mess in Cincinnati, and it's all on the ownership.
Yes, it is a mess in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Plenty more franchise tag ramifications as we have an even deeper discussion in our next segment. Speaking of the franchise tag, it really seemed unlikely that Minnesota would place the tag on quarterback Sam Darnold. The Vikings sharing through reports yesterday, they will not tag Sam Darnold, but do remain interested in trying to work on a deal to bring him back to the Twin Cities. I'm not so sure that happens, Donnie, as it does seem to be J.J. McCarthy's team, despite what Sam Darnold was able to accomplish a season ago.
He's probably going to get good money on the open market, which it looks like he's going to be on. But also, you're right about this. From a Minnesota Vikings perspective, why does this make sense for him to go back to the Vikings when you drafted a first-round talent that you feel is going to be your franchise guy? Are you saying he's not ready to play? Now, we didn't get to see him play his rookie year because he was injured in preseason. But being in the building for an entire year and learning the offense, let the young kid spin. Let's spend $25, $35, $40 million on Sam Darnold. Let the young kid play.
$40.2 million is what the quarterback value would be if you are placed on the non-exclusive franchise tag. That makes zero fiscal sense for Sam Darnold. Big news around the NBA, DRS. The Dallas disaster continues after the trade of Luka Doncic. In his Dallas debut, Anthony Davis injured in the third quarter. The Mavericks are now increasing season ticket prices by 8%. Have a sense of your fan base and franchise in yesterday in a critical play-in tournament positioning game against the Sacramento Kings. Kyrie Irving exits with what looked to be a serious knee injury. Landed awkwardly. Left knee sprain is what the Mavericks are calling it. Stayed in the game to shoot free throws, but with tears in his eye. If it is only a knee sprain, that's a good sign. It looked scarier than that yesterday for Kyrie and the Mavs.
Yeah, 32 and 30. Now, we told you yesterday the Kings on the road were the play yesterday, only about a 2.5-point line, 122 to 98 final. But there are bigger things in Dallas to worry about, which does include you have the Adelson Group, you know, which is big in Las Vegas, tons of money by the Mavericks. Then they're saying, like, you know what? We got to raise season tickets. We traded away your best player, but we have to make infrastructure like changes here in the organization. What, the owner just can't pay for that himself? Crazy times in Dallas. An organization that feel like it was loved between the ownership group and the team itself. Sure. Now it looks like it's pure hatred over there.
The pulse of the organization, the pulse of the fan base is not trending in a positive direction for Dallas. And as Donnie alluded to, Sacramento wins by 24, 122-98 on the road in Dallas, covering as a 2.5-point road favorite. How about some big-time college basketball in the final week of the regular season at the high major level? Houston, now number three in the country, already claiming a second consecutive Big 12 regular season crown. Hands the ninth conference loss this year to Kansas, 65-59 at home on senior night. The Jayhawks do cover as a 9.5-point road underdog, but Donnie, just being a 9.5-point road underdog was history for Kansas in all the wrong ways. The largest spread the Jayhawks have seen as a dog in nearly 2.5 decades.
Yeah, and taking a look yesterday, what do we say we loved in this game? Team total under for the Kansas Jayhawks, which is 61.5 points wide because Houston plays unbelievable defense, and you knew it was going to be a rock fight because the Jayhawks don't do a lot of the things that the Houston Cougars do extremely well in defense, and that played out last night. It still came down to a Zeke Mayo triple with about 10 seconds to go that missed. He splashes that. It's 62 and we lose. He bricked it. It's 59 and we won. Perfect scenario.
The team total master in March, Donnie Wrightside, delivers once again. Hopefully you had the team total to the over for Duke, or maybe the Wake Forest total to the under, or maybe the bubble bursting in Winston-Salem, because that seemed what happened last night. Duke wins by 33 at home inside Cameron Indoor behind a monumental performance from Cooper Flagg in potentially his final game in Durham. 28 points, 8 boards, 7 dimes, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Duke 18-1 in ACC play. They have won each of their last 4 games by 30 plus.
Undefeated this year at Cameron Indoor because the final game is on the road 8 miles away in Chapel Hill. But understand this. The handicap to this game was Duke really likes to shoot the three-point shot. Wake Forest will let you shoot the three-point shot. Duke hoisted up 39 triples in that game in a 93-60 victory. Do I have to like Duke's number 2 in the country. Do I have to reevaluate how good they are because they smash every single opponent? Wild.
Yeah. The average margin of victory now north of 22 points per game in ACC action. The MVP frontrunner in the NBA continues to put up MVP performances. 51 points as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leads the Thunder to a home win against the Houston Rockets.
Just this just in. Yeah, he's really good. And also this just in. How about that 9.5 spread yesterday? We just said, you know what? Might be a little bit too high. Yeah, just a little bit. We nailed it.
Closed in double digits. Also, OKC wins, but Houston does cover. Our guy, Luis, don't call him. heel, shut down by the Yankees.
Oh, boy.
4-6 weeks. Oh, never a good sign. NFL news next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is franchise tag deadline day around the National Football League. I believe around 4 p.m. Eastern time this afternoon, the tag deadline comes to a close. So if there is a player on your roster that you want to place under a franchise tag, either non-exclusive, exclusive, or that transition tag, it must be done by this afternoon. And for a second consecutive offseason, it was done to T. Higgins by the Cincinnati Bengals. Donnie, we kind of expected this to be the plan for Duke Tobin and that Bengals front office. They have told us their plan was to tag T. Higgins to keep him in-house so he could not test his true market value as a free agent, and thus the two sides, unlike last year, could work to a long-term contract extension, as Cincinnati is paramount on keeping everybody in-house. That includes T. Higgins, of course, extending Ja'Marr Chase, and Defensive Player of the Year runner-up, Trey Hendrickson. Do we trust the Bengals, DRS?
I trust the Bengals using the letter of the law to make their players ultimately upset in the end, where they will say, this is your contract, you will obey by it. And I always joke about this with the Bengals. If you said, like, all right, Joe Burrow's going to sit this season out, Ja'Marr Chase, and also T. Higgins, the Bengals would be like, that's fantastic. Look at all the money we don't have to pay, when the fans would have to be upset and the team would be losing on the football field because they don't want to pay said players. So having that background with how Cincinnati's ultimately a cheap organization, they also are doing things backward at this point. You have to have a game plan for the future. You told T. Higgins he was not part of your future last year. Take it or leave it. Play on the tag. Don't play on the tag. We don't care. If you don't show up, we're not paying you. So be it. And then we'll tag you the next year, and you won't have another year accrued towards free agency. T. Higgins has been nothing short of great here. Close to 1,000 yards every single year he's been with the Bengals, and a homegrown talent. And clearly, he likes Cincinnati. And who wouldn't want to play with Joe Burrow? But also, when you tag him last year, I can't even believe he showed up to training camp. When you get the tag in the NFL, that is your last resort as an organization, because you want to tag them to say, you are our guy. If push comes to shove, you will make a lot of money for 1 year as one of our positional players. But the reason you put the tag on players is not to play on the tag, Ben. It's to tag them to say, this gives us a couple months to work out a deal long term because we want you here. The Bengals said last year, here's your tag. Don't come talk to us. You're not even in our future plans. We want you for one more year, and then you'll be gone. So then he goes, okay, I'll show up and be the good soldier. Then the gold at the end of the rainbow is coming next year. They slap him with the tag again, which there's no way, as an agent, you can let him play under it. And you might tell me, Ben, say, you know what? That's a lot of money to play on, $26 million for 1 year. Not when, if he hits free agency, he would get well north of $80 to $90 million guaranteed the minute he signs his name. And you say, well, what's the difference in that point? If T. Higgins this year blows out his knee, say goodbye to all that monster money. He's going to have to do it on a prove-it deal for $5 million next year. If T. Higgins goes out this year with a $80 to $90 million guaranteed contract and blows his knee out, that's all his money, regardless if he ever plays football again. I don't understand what the Bengals are doing. And in just a moment here, I'm also going to explain, Bane, what Ja'Marr Chase actually enters into this equation now as well.
So let's go through the timeline, right? The Cincinnati Bengals placed the franchise tag on T. Higgins last year. And Donnie is correct. With the intention of being like, take it or leave it, pal, we're not reworking a long-term contract extension. You will play under the franchise tag or you will sit out. T. Higgins does not sit out. We debated if T. Higgins would even play for the Bengals in 2024. He does, not a full season, only starting 9 games, playing in 12, dealing with injuries, but was red hot down the stretch as the Bengals tried to make their run to the postseason. You see it there, nearly a 1,000-yard season for a guy that only played in 12 games and still had 10 receiving touchdowns, basically saying, all right, guys, see what you have missed out on. And Ja'Marr Chase, who had a triple crown season, saying most of the same. So, Donnie, that's where I think the skepticism comes. Cincinnati has said now they expect to work to a long-term deal with T. Higgins, but it was the complete opposite thought an offseason ago. So you have to have a little bit of hesitation to take the Bengals at their word. Nine guys an offseason ago were placed on either the franchise or transition tag. Eight of those nine, even two players, Brian Burns and Legarius Sneed, agreed to a long-term contract extension with their team. Burns and Sneed with a new team after being dealt from Carolina to New York for Brian Burns, from Kansas City to Tennessee for Legarius Sneed. Who is the only guy not to sign a long-term deal after being placed under the franchise tag? T. Higgins. So that's why we remain a little bit skeptical. Now, to Donnie's second point, the fiscal nature of this, just so you can take it away, DRS, $26.2 million might seem like a lot. Six wide receivers around the NFL make $30 million per year or more. T. Higgins would absolutely get that, if not $32-plus million annually, if he became a free agent. So you do not have the financial flexibility to keep him under the tag if you are going to pay other players. Insert Jamar Chase. DRS, go ahead.
And Jamar Chase, let's bring him up now, because start with T. Higgins here. You understand this. If he gets the free agency this year and played the good soldier last year, he just might be the highest paid wide receiver in football. You say, Donnie, that's crazy. No. The cap went up, and he's going to be the free agent that everybody wants. Three or four teams bid on him. He's getting an unbelievable price point. So now we're saying, hey, you're going to be tagged for $26 million, which, again, you can't compare it to everyday life. That's a lot of money, but not of to course. T. Higgins on what he could get. Now, understand this. Jamar Chase, did you see what happened yesterday? The Bengals are telling him he's going to be the highest-paid wide receiver in football. Do you know what Chase's camp is coming back saying? Like, we are so far apart in negotiations, it's ridiculous right now. So set the stage for this. T. Higgins comes back to the Bengals at $26 million. Jamar Chase signs a contract for, I don't know, $175 million. Are you kidding me? The animosity towards the organization that T. Higgins would have, knowing that if he got the free agency or signed a long-term deal last year, you would have to deal with any of this. So we have Joe Burrow, the highest paid quarterback in football, Jamar Chase, which is going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the sport. And then you're going to work out a deal for T. Higgins, which is probably going to be $35+ million a year. The Bengals, what are you doing out here? It's not going to work, and nobody's happy about it.
So let's continue to play front office exec. I feel like we have a good beat and read on this, DRS, because we'll talk about the financial figures and what this all means personally in that Bengals wide receiver room and the franchise overall. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on SportsGrid. Donnie Wrightside is many things. A commissioner, a forecaster, a handicapper, and, of course, beyond all of that, a doctor and a fashion police as well.
Yes.
Wow, a lot of titles for Mr. Wrightside. However, you could include pseudo front office executive handling financial issues for NFL teams. And Donnie, through your wisdom, I feel as though I have gained some as well. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons the Bengals are entering very precarious territory around T. Higgins, placing the franchise tag on their star wideout for a second consecutive year, is here's where I think, first and foremost, Donnie, you have some issues. If you place the franchise tag on T. Higgins, $26.2 million, as Donnie has highlighted, sounds like a lot. And it is, but it's not nearly market value for a wide receiver in T. Higgins that, given where the salary cap continues to increase, would probably make $32 million annually and have that long-term extension, so some fully guaranteed money. None of it is fully guaranteed under the franchise tag. However, for the Bengals, it all goes to their cap hit. And if the Bengals are trying to be financially flexible so they can pay Jamar Chase a record-setting deal for a non-quarterback and make Trey Hendrickson one of the highest-paid defensive players in the NFL, as they will need to do to bring everybody back, Donnie, they need that financial flexibility. They need to be able to pay guys up front in terms of signing bonuses. So the salary cap does not have nearly as much of a burden as it would if they just paid T. Higgins $26.2 million. It might sound backwards in a way that you would pay T. Higgins $5 or $6 million more per year, But by doing so with a long-term deal, you can actually free some financial value up based on how the contract is structured.
Exactly. The simplicity of the NFL contract, right, is look at this. We draft a guy. He's really good. He plays 2 or 3 years. We identify him as that guy's going to be long-term. We come to you with a contract that's not market value, but close to it, and say, you know what? We're going to give you a lot of money here. You don't have to play out your fourth and fifth year. We're going to extend you off, and we're going to save a lot of money on our side, and you're going to be really happy with the amount of money you're making. The teams that do it backward, teams like the Dallas Cowboys, wait to the last minute, sign them to record-breaking deals, and ruin your salary cap, because there is money. Owners can pay all of their guys. They use the constraints of the salary cap because they don't want to spend all that money. It looks good to have it. But owners that are willing to shell out that front dollar here when the signing bonuses and spread it out and make those adjustments before the player actually comes up for contract. Because understand this, like Joe Burrow, quarterbacks are always going to break the bank. But did you not know Ja'Marr Chase was a really good wide receiver 2 years into the NFL? Did you not know that T. Higgins was a really good wideout 2 years into the NFL's 2 first-round draft picks? If you would have come to them over the past 2 years and signed them to long-term deals, you would be looking at saying, boy, now we can afford a defense. We can afford an offensive line. Yes, in a year or two, we're going to have to re-extend our wide receiver. But for this year, we have them under manageable conditions. They're happy with it because they already have that guaranteed money. But all you're doing now is pissing off your entire wide receiving core. Because as we just stated, Ben and I, it's not so much that T. Higgins isn't going to make a lot of money. But you got to be knowing that if he was a free agent like he was supposed to be, the amount he would get now compared to the amount he's going to get. And then if they signed Ja'Marr Chase to the biggest contract ever, it's like, this is completely unfair. I've been with you guys for 5 years now. This is the way I'm treated here. Here's a hamstring injury week number two. I'll see you in week 11. I can't wait to get out of here.
And regardless of what the Bengals are going to pay T. Higgins, it is going to pale in comparison to Ja'Marr Chase. Had the Bengals had the foresight, you signed Chase last offseason. You set the non-quarterback market then, which Justin Jefferson ended up doing, $35 million per year, $110 million guaranteed. Now the Bengals are playing catch up. They have to reset the market, $37-38 million per year, $125 million in terms of $1 million in guaranteed value to Ja'Marr Chase. And then you allow T. Higgins to see all that and say, now I'm only getting $30 million, $31 million. You think there is that large of a gap in my production and Ja'Marr Chase? And maybe there is. But still, you have spurned players in your franchise who you are reportedly in charge of taking care of and making happy so that you can make yet another Super Bowl run, which is what the Bengals can do if everybody is paid and everybody is there and everybody is happy, as they did back in 2021, as the odds kind of expect to be the case in Cincy this year, an 18-1 number on the Bengals that opened at a 24-1 price. We will continue talking franchise tag news on the other side of the break, but July 15th is the date if a player is placed under the tag that the club and the player can agree to a long-term deal. More NFL news and notes next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Other really big headlines around the National Football League on franchise tag or transition tag, deadline day in the NFL. It seemed unlikely. It turns out that it is. The Minnesota Vikings DRS, despite the sensational year that Sam Darnold had last year in Minneapolis, will not be placed under the franchise tag by the Vikes this offseason, freeing him up to be a free agent. The Vikings say they remain interested. I don't think they're going to pay the money necessary to keep Sam Darnold in-house as they focus on their future in J.J. McCarthy. Here's why it did not make sense. First and foremost, you drafted McCarthy 10th overall to be your guy. He is going to be your face of the franchise moving forward. Darnold kind of ruined that opportunity in the two biggest games of the year for Minnesota. But still, Sam Darnold is going to make some cash this offseason in the franchise tag value of more than $40 million. To have Sam Darnold as a backup or competing for the starting quarterback role, that's way too high of a price tag to pay.
It is too high of a price tag to pay. And also understand this, like Minnesota's not like, oh my goodness, we don't have a backup plan. Like, no, they drafted their backup plan last year, which is their franchise guy in the top 10 in J.J. McCarthy. He should play this year. If he's healthy, he's got a full year to rehab. It's not like you're going to rush him back onto the field. He should be fine. But also, like Sam Darnold, like going to the free agent market, I'm wondering where he's going to go, which we'll talk about a couple teams that might be his landing spots. But he is going to make money. He could be a bridge quarterback. He could be maybe a future quarterback because he did show some signs of life. Like, hey, you know what? Give me a good wideout. Give me a good head coach calling plays, and I can perform. Now, it's just a shame because I'll tell you what. He doesn't play poorly, let's just say, against the Detroit Lions, or he doesn't play poorly in the playoffs against the Rams. You might be thinking in Minnesota, like, this is your franchise guy, and maybe we can trade the youngster behind him. Or like, hey, you know what? We'll put you on the Aaron Rodgers plan where we'll see you in 3 to 4 years. It's just a shame and would have been really interesting for Minnesota, the decision they would have had to make if they had won a playoff game, just a single one, because I think the argument for bringing him back in Minnesota would have been much stronger. You saw the way it played out. Oh, there's the old Sam Darnold we know and love from the New York Jets. We understand that, which is unfair, which how well he played in the regular season. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. But also, the key point here. Minnesota can't bring him back. The future is now. You have a young quarterback on a roster that you look like you can win football games. He can progress. And also, you get him real cheap, Ben. $5-7 million a year as opposed to $40 million a year.
And Sam Darnold, fair or not, ceiling high or floor low, however you describe Sam Darnold's play as a quarterback in the NFL, is going to garner at least, you would think, $30 million per year from a certain franchise in desperate need of a quarterback. And the Vikings are not in desperate need of a quarterback, turning now to J.J. McCarthy. DRS, a longtime bird who helped in winning a Super Bowl this year, Darius Slay is going to be released by Philadelphia. 12 seasons in the NFL for Slay, his first 7 in Detroit, his last 5 with the Eagles, a 6-time Pro Bowler. It is unfortunate, but at the age of 34, these things happen. It frees up a little bit more than $4 million in cap space for Philadelphia. Slay himself personally has said he still wants to give it a go for one more NFL season. Wanted that to be in Philly if they could rework a deal. The Eagles clearing some cap space and making the cut.
You can understand this. He wasn't making $4.5 million this season if they were to keep him on there, because that would have been ludicrous. They would have kept him there and just say, hey, deal with it. You're going to play one more year. You said you wanted to play one more. But his number was in the teens here. So you caught him, you saved $4 million. And I do think he does want to play one more season. And also, he's not just going to go to the highest bidder. Like, let me go to a really bad team to make an extra $1 million. He said it in a few podcasts here. Would love to go back to Detroit, but even more would love to stay in Philadelphia. I am under the belief that the Philadelphia Eagles, the way they take care of their players, specifically guys that have done really well for them over the years, like the Brandon Grahams of the world, if you have anything left in the tank, we'll work with you here as long as you want to come back. I think Slay is coming back to the Eagles, but it is a cap-saving measure. And if they do sign him, they'll be able to extend it 1 or 2 years here to make that cap lower than what it would have been if they just kept him on his final year of his deal.
June 1st is a big day around the NFL. Pre-post June 1st trade or cut. It really does move the monetary value for whatever maneuver an NFL franchise makes. So post June 1st, if that is the release date and the designation for this move by Philadelphia, saves them $4.3 million. But if Darius Slay is still a free agent at that time in the summer before training camp, you can bring back the veteran on a more franchise-friendly deal. And Howie Roseman, DRS, I think right now, looked at as the best front office executive in the NFL, the GM for the Eagles. He is very shrewd in how he deals with financials. Everybody on the Eagles is paid, so to speak, but it's also because they draft so well that their key defensive contributors are all on rookie contracts. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, everybody there. That's how you save some money. The veteran Darius Slay set to be released at this moment, as is the veteran offensive lineman in Cincinnati, Alex Kappa, who had played every single game for the Bengals the last 3 years he was in Cincy. This move, though, frees up about $8 million of cap space for Cincy. They have freed up more than $17.5 million so far this offseason. All the dollars and cents necessary so that you can pay everybody to stay on the Bengals.
I'll tell you what's crazy, too, because, you're going to try to maneuver your roster around to save as much money as you can to try to save your stars. Now, let's understand this, Ben. Last year, correct me if I'm wrong, the Bengals weren't a playoff team. So Joe right. Burrow always has that massive contract. Let's just say you sign Ja'Marr Chase to more money than we've ever seen outside of a quarterback in the NFL, and you do a long-term deal for T. Higgins, and then on the other side of the football, Trey Hendrickson, which is the sack leader in the NFL, you rewrite the market for him. You didn't make the playoffs last year. Everybody got 50% higher salaries, which I don't know where you find the money to just build an average defense to try to help out, and God forbid if any one of those players gets injured next year. So that's the trouble on the horizon, which is why you talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and Howie Roseman. It's like everybody's paid. Everybody's happy. An injury here or there will be fine. And we already have a very good offense and a very good defense. Like the Bengals are not saying like, hey, look, we're going to scrap the offensive line because Joe Burrow already gets sacked at a high rate as well. And then the defense, we can't really improve it because we signed a guy back who's a sack leader. But in the grand scheme of things, really to make that big of a deal. It's almost like the Bengals should be like, all right, Ja'Marr Chase will get us 2 first-rounders. T. Higgins will get us 1. Hendricks are going to get us 1. We'll just go into the draft the next couple of years. We'll keep Burrow. He's good enough to keep us afloat here. We'll rebuild this thing. It just sounds like all the talented players, 4 or 5 of those in Cincinnati, make up the entire football team. And they didn't make the playoffs last year.
Donnie, there might be a time come July where everybody on Cincinnati is paid. Ja'Marr Chase has set the record for the highest contract ever for a non-quarterback. T. Higgins might even seem happy. Trey Hendrickson as well. And you might say, hey, heck yeah, Duke Tobin, way to go. No, they have messed this up royally. They could have done this 2 off-seasons ago, an off-season ago, to actually help their franchise become a true Super Bowl contender, and they have not done that. Even if T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are back, there is no guarantee, knowing how porous the Bengals' defense was, that they'll be better or good enough to lead Cincinnati to a playoff run this season. DRS, one of the all-time greats, one of the all-time names around the National Football League, a Super Bowl-winning head coach, a national championship-winning head coach at the collegiate level, and a guy who worked on TV for more than 3 decades. Jimmy Johnson yesterday, at the age of 81, announcing his retirement from Fox. He was there from the very first NFL on Fox pregame show more than 30 years ago. He is now retired from that show, and we wish Jimmy Johnson the best.
We do. By the way, Jimmy Johnson looks the same age as he did in like 1985 to what he does today. No doubt. And also, does the guy live a better life? Like, was a head coach of the Miami Dolphins, the Miami Hurricanes, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, 20 plus years in TV. And all he does is live in Key West, fish off his boat, relax, hang out. And looks like that's one of those guys like, dude, I just want to have dinner or a beer with that guy. He probably has the best stories and looks like he will be a great time here. So yeah, 81 years old. Enjoy the rest, man. Catch some of those sailfish out there and all that good stuff.
Absolutely so, DRS. Wow, a back porch stogie between Donnie Wrightside and Jimmy Johnson talking about the future of Miami football. Now that sounds like an ideal summer night. But before we get to summer, we have the month of March. The end of the regular season at the high major level of men's college basketball with some conference tourney action to break down. We do that next. You're on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is the month of March. It is also the final week of the regular season at the high major level in men's college basketball. We've got a lot to be determined. NCAA tournament bids, being on the right side of the bubble, seed lines, hunting down a number one seed in the big dance, and of course, in some facets, conference championships in the regular season to be figured out. Not in the Big 12 for a second consecutive year. Both years Houston has been in this league, the Cougars have dominated. Their second consecutive Big 12 regular season crown, and now DRS, an 18-1 record to boot. On senior night inside the Fertitta Center, a comfortable win for Houston, but not necessarily a double-digit victory. 65-59, 6-point win over unranked Kansas. Houston now number 3 in the country. The Jayhawks do cover as a 9.5-point road underdog. But Donnie, that spread also indicative of this season for the preseason number 1. That was the largest number KU has ever seen as an underdog in the last 2.5 decades, getting 9.5 points in a Big 12 game.
Let's just go to the box score here. And let me tell you this. The Kansas Jayhawks from the floor shot 45%. Houston Cougars, Ben, 35%. Wow, look at that. How about 3-point range? One team shot 42%. That was the Kansas Jayhawks. How about 35% for Houston? Woo! Kansas is putting it on them. Let's get to the free throw line here. One team shot 84%. That was Kansas. As a team, 71% Houston. All right, Kansas back on track, Ben. Big 12, here we come. Conference championships, can't wait. Oh, wait a second. They lost that game by 6 points. How does that happen? Well, one team in Houston Cougars shot 68 times from the floor. How about 42 for the Jayhawks? Why is that? Look at the steals. 16 steals to 4. The turnovers, 20 to 6. You can't give the other team 14 more possessions for free because you turn the basketball over with extra chance points at the rim, which is exactly what Houston did. It's twofold the way you can look at this game. You see the Big 12, 18-1 Houston Cougars, which is absolutely incredible. They can win a multitude of ways, but sometimes you get a little bit scared where you see some of these statistics and say, boy, oh boy, they got lucky to win that game. Now, granted, they're 26-4, and I just told you, 19 games in conference play, they've won 18 of those. They should be fine, but they don't play at that high tempo where games like that, you want to blow the other team out, but also shows you how talented they are to lose every statistical category from the floor and still win a basketball game. Imagine when they play their A game if they bring it in March Madness.
And you kind of felt it might not be their A game in H-Town after a huge week that led to them claiming that second consecutive outright Big 12 title. But still an emotional night inside the Fortina Center as it was senior night for the Cougs, and they get a victory. Meanwhile, for Kansas, yes, a cover. Their first cover in four games as an underdog in Big 12 play. But the Jayhawks, again, the preseason number one team in the AP Top 25, 19-11 this season, 10-9 in Big 12 play. Donnie, the first time since 1981-82, and then following that, 1982-83, that Kansas has lost eight or more conference games in two straight years. Those 2 years in the early 80s, as well as 1988-89, the last time prior to last season, Kansas had lost at least eight conference games. The only 3 years in the last 43 where there has been an NCAA tournament, Kansas has missed out on the big dance. Now, the Jayhawks will go dancing, but they're not going to be a 2 seed. They're not going to be a 4 seed. They're not going to be a 6 seed. They will be around the 8-10 seed line, which is just crazy to say in Lawrence. And they don't really look good in anything they are doing right now. Total of 132.5 does stay under. The Duke Blue Devils, however, they look freaking phenomenal right now entering this month of March. Their home finale yesterday inside Cameron Indoor. Perhaps Cooper Flagg's final game, I say perhaps as a joke, Cooper Flagg's final game inside Cameron Indoor in front of the crazies as well. In what a way to go out. Duke, yet another 30-plus point win, 93-60 against the Wake Forest team that is flirting with the bubble in NCAA tournament consideration. I think that bubble burst last night. Duke covers as a 20.5-point home favorite. A total of 146.5 does go over. Seven straight wins for Duke. Six consecutive covers for Duke, winning by at least 33 points in four straight games. And Cooper Flagg in his Cameron Indoor finale, 28 points, 8 boards, 7 dimes, 3 made threes, 3 blocks, 2 steals. He's going to be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft for a reason.
As good as it gets. And you're right about this. This wasn't as if you were playing a team 2 and let's just say 15 in conference play, just running out the trail of their season. A lot was on the line for Wake Forest, and coming into the game, 20-9 overall, 12-6 in conference play, and get doused by 33 points. And it felt like at times in this game, it wasn't even that close. And also coming back with Cooper Flagg, banged up in that last game, poked in the eye. How would he take it tonight? Well, you're right. 10 of 16 from the floor. Ultra, ultra impressive, which included that 28 points. Did everything. Rebounding, assist, blocks, as you pointed out here. It's very rare that you see sometimes, Ben, a guy coming in with all of that hype. And I don't know, could you say that he maybe even exceeded the hype at this point? Because we knew he was going to be a great player. He's going to be the first overall draft pick possibly here coming into the NBA. But living up to the hype coming from Maine, going to Duke and being on center stage, it was absolutely phenomenal from start to finish. And he might not even win the Wooden Award, but not for the sake of him and the Duke Blue Devils not being a great basketball team. 18-1 for the Blue Devils, looking to finally hang one on UNC in UNC and finish conference play at 19-1. What a season for the Duke Blue Devils. And you're right, This isn't like, hey, man, we won by 5 or 6 points on a night-to-night basis. We like playing these close games. They hammer every single team they play.
They still have not clinched an ACC regular season crown, as crazy, crazy as that is, because Louisville and Clemson have only lost two games, and Clemson, of course, has that tie-breaking advantage against the Duke Blue Devils. And that's what makes Saturday's Tobacco Road rivalry all that much more critical. North Carolina might need it to solidify an NCAA tournament resume. Duke needs it to be the number one seed of the ACC tournament and that regular season crown. And oh, by the way, the Duke Blue Devils, an average margin of victory of now north of 22 points per game in ACC action. 13-6 against the spread within the ACC. Plenty more college basketball coming your way to start hour two. We have the opening hour of the NBA now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA action from a seven-game slate on a Monday night to recap to end out this opening hour. Live right here on a Tuesday morning on the early line. Four times in the last 7 weeks has the MVP frontrunner in the league's leading scorer, OKC's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, delivered a 50-point performance. 51 last night to lead Oklahoma City to a big home victory against the Houston Rockets. 137-128, the victory for OKC. The Rockets do cover DRS. 9.5-point spread when we were breaking down the game yesterday, closed at 11 in favor of OKC. But the Thunder win number 50 behind a 50 piece from SGA.
Yeah, he is tremendous. Absolutely. I guess wrapping up that MVP award, the 50th win, as we like to say, for OKC, 51 points for SGA. And also, he was doing it very efficiently, Ben. 36 minutes, 30 attempts, made 18 of those, which included 5 of 9 from three-point range, a perfect 10 of 10 from the free throw line. And the thing I love to see with the 51 points, still 7 assists, and how about this, Ben, only 2 turnovers from SGA. A buck 37 on the board against a quality Rockets team here. This is the team that we expect to win the Western Conference and represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. And they're not giving us any reason at this point to doubt them. 50-11 for this basketball team.
Oklahoma City 6-1 straight up since the All-Star break. They have been at least a 9-point favorite in all 7 games. They've only covered in half of their wins. And yet you can see what the expectation is. Total of 228, skying over OKC over in 7 consecutive games. There was a time, Donnie, near the end of January with a 32-14 mark. The Rockets were the only team behind, or the only team in front of Houston, I should say, atop the Western Conference standings was Oklahoma City. Houston was the 2 seed out west. They have dropped 10 of their last 15. They are firmly in that 5 spot in the Western Conference at this moment. Still 4 games up on Golden State, but now trail the Memphis Grizzlies by a full game. Speaking of Memphis, what a wild game last night with a total that was in the 250s. Closing at 251 was 253.5 for us yesterday, DRS, and still skied over with more than 260 combined points and a wild ending. Atlanta wins outright as a 7-point road underdog. In the final 10 seconds, Desmond Bane for Memphis, trying to find a game-winning opportunity, has his pocket picked. Ball up to Caris LeVert, who as time expires, hits the game-winning layup. Victory from the jaws of defeat. Atlanta wins outright, solidifying even more of their position within that Eastern Conference play-in tourney.
Yeah, Bane, 35-10-10 in a loss at home. Which, again, look at that final score. We talked about it yesterday, the number as the start of overnight going up a few points to 253.5, and there wasn't even any blink like, man, you automatically just take that game to the under. No, we said you go over because you just watched some of the previous games between both of these franchises, and you look at the starting lineups and go, Atlanta Hawks aren't even that good, but when you play at a tempo, you get more shots up and just have to make your fair share. And they did that. 132-130, over 255-plus points in that game. Look, we told you yesterday. Don't just look at those. That's a ridiculous number. It's going to go under. Tempo gives you the advantages, and you saw that last night, and it went over. Craziness.
And you probably forgot who the number one overall pick was this past June in the NBA draft. The Frenchman, Zachary Rizaché. team high 27 points for Atlanta, 5 of 7 from deep. Big victory for the Hawks. Of course, Donnie, some big news out of Dallas as the disastrous second half continues for the Mavs. Kyrie Irving, an awkward injury. The Mavs are calling it a left knee sprain, which would make it seem a little bit more optimistic than how significant it looked last night. Hobbled to the free throw line with tears in his eyes, hit both free throws, but then exited the game. It would continue to be just a terrible stretch run for Dallas after trading Luka Doncic, losing Anthony Davis to injury, although he should be back relatively soon, and now Kyrie Irving, all the while charging the Mavericks fan base 8% more on season tickets starting next season. Again, not a great time in Dallas.
No, it's not. And Kyrie Irving only played 9 minutes in that game. They were doomed from the start. You need your other veterans to step up, like Klay Thompson, 25 minutes, shot 4 times from the floor, scored 3 points, and was a minus 30 in that basketball game. Yesterday, I told you, I like the Sacramento Kings coming in. If I would have known that Kyrie Irving wasn't even going to play through the first quarter, probably would have liked it even more at that point. But an easy victory for the Kings, and things just can't go worse for the Dallas Mavericks right now.
The Dubs get a big road victory in Charlotte. They cover as a 13-point favorite. They have won 8 of 9, covering in every one when Jimmy Butler starts and plays. And keep an eye on Detroit basketball, covering in Utah as an 11.5-point favorite. Hour 2 up next.